Hi, we're Shannon and Jerry Arner.
And our dog, Betty White.
Your hosts of the Arner Adventures podcast.
Could we have named it something more creative? Probably. But it's the name of our blog. It's our last name. We're on an adventure. Yada, yada, yada. After owning our own business, working 24/7.
And don't forget a mental breakdown in between.
We made a lifestyle change and decided to make the most out of life.
We sold our house, most of our belongings, downsized, and moved to the coast.
We live life minimally, but fully.
We live each day as an adventure.
This show will help you learn how to live life more fully, with more intention, by experiencing more, and with less stuff.
We'll talk about our own experiences, interview others who have much to share by creating a spark in our lives.
Some days we'll share real life ongoings of what we're going through, and others we'll talk about our favorite flavor of waffle.
Come join our adventure.
It's the Arner Adventures Podcast.
Hi friends, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Shannon.
We are back with episode 117 of the Arner Adventures Podcast.
We hope you're enjoying the first taste of spring.
Meteorological spring.
That's right. Well, it's spring, and that makes us feel like, you know, sort of a cleansing mode, being kinder to ourselves. And with that, we recently wrote a blog post on organic makeup and ways to check if the brand is truly organic, if it uses natural ingredients, if it's really cruelty-free. And we got several questions about certain brands, and not only in the health and beauty field, but fashion, food, et cetera.
Yes. So we thought we would have a conversation with you on how to know if a brand is sustainable and ethical, what to look for, and questions to ask the brand.
That's right. But first, you know where we're going with this. Mm-hmm. We would love to ask you if you would please give us a 5-star review or rating on the platform you're listening to us on. It helps us so much. I know we always say it, but it really does. It's this whole algorithm trickiness stuff. Like if you recommend us, then it sort of pushes it out to other people who may be interested in content like ours.
And please hit the follow subscribe button. Depending on what the platform is, that helps us too.
That's right. Well, let's get into the conversation.
Shall we?
Yes. Well, so the first thing we're going to do is talk about, why does it matter if you shop for sustainable and ethical brands, or shop from sustainable and ethical brands?
Yes. Choosing to buy from sustainable and ethical brands is like voting for a better world with your wallet. It matters because it's not just about getting a product. It's about making a positive impact.
Yeah. So when we support sustainable brands, we're saying yes to eco-friendly practices that help the environment and reduce our impact on the planet.
These brands care about things like environmental impact, human rights and fair labor practices, animal welfare, long-term health benefits from their products, community support, global impact, preserving resources. It's our small actions adding up to create big changes for a healthy, happier, and more equitable future.
Yes. And you know what? When you shop sustainably and ethically, it's so much better for your health, especially when you choose to shop for those products that you put in and on your body. And I'll tell you, this whole thing, we've not always been like this at all. And you know what? Sometimes it's a reminder to do better. So when we made our whole lifestyle change and downsized a few years ago, and we just really were getting to basics, and that's when we started sort of shifting the way we thought about things, like what we're putting in and on our bodies. How can we make things? And I think it started out, like the charge for us really started out as like a financial thing. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, how do we make our own toothpaste? How do we, and then when we started doing that, we were like, oh, if we're buying this to put in our body, and when we actually saw the ingredients and things that we were putting in and on our body, that's when it started resonating more about, well, wait a minute, if I'm buying the coconut oil, let me make sure I buy organic coconut oil. Because we use that in many ways.
Indeed.
And so that's when it started for us. So we want to make sure that when we have these conversations, if you're not familiar with these practices, we're not being preachy. We really want it to be educational. And so with that blog post that we're talking about, people would send us messages saying, well, is this brand organic, or is this brand, practicing cruelty free? I'm not sure. And so that's when we realized, yeah, we were there too. And so we thought we would have a conversation to help you understand not only why it matters, but how can you tell? Because it's not, I heard on the radio the other day something about a marketing ploy where a brand put gluten-free on a water bottle. And water's never had gluten in it. So it's we are going to talk about labels and things like that, but we want you to be more educated and knowledgeable about the things that you're reading.
Oh, yeah, indeed. And it'll help us, too, to kind of re-educate
ourselves. Yeah. How do you know if a brand is sustainable and ethical?
Certifications matter.
That's right.
Yeah, you can check the labels of products to see if it is evident that they have a certain certifications.
Yep, you can think of them as badges of honor that brands earn when they commit to ethical and eco-friendly practices.
That's right. Some badges you can look for are the Fair Trade Label, Fair Wear, Vegan, USDA Organic, and the Leaping Bunny for Cruelty Free. These symbols signify a brand's dedication to making a positive impact on the world.
Yeah, the Leaping Bunny, you'll probably know when I tell you this. So if you look at the back of like some shampoo bottles or whatever, you can look at the back or any product really. If it has that bunny that's sort of leaping through the air, that is the trademark branding for cruelty free. So the Leaping Bunny movement was a really great marketing movement for a nonprofit to certify companies as being cruelty free. Now, that's not the end all be all. Like, we do go by that a lot. For there's a website and an app that you can check for cruelty free, but there are some companies, especially like if they're from, I think Europe has it too, but if there's some other countries or independent products that have not gone through that certification, it doesn't mean they're not cruelty free. It just means that you need to ask questions and, read more about it, which leads us to the power of transparency.
Yes, transparency is the key. Sustainable brands aren't afraid to pull back the curtain and showcase their entire supply chain.
Yeah, an open dialogue really fosters trust between brands and consumers and how you can navigate through brands' commitment to openness.
Yeah, a brand that has sustainable and ethical practices has no issue with answering your questions if you have them.
Yeah, if you're getting pushback from a brand that doesn't want to tell you about whether or not they, test on animals, then that should be your red flag.
Yeah, definitely a triple red flag.
Yeah, they should be very open about the ingredients they use, the different things that they use for making clothes, all of that, where they get them, how they're made. But we're going to get into all of that.
If they're pushing back, they probably have a squirrel on a treadmill operating, machinery.
That's right. Yeah. And that's terrible.
That is bad.
Well, there are some things that you can do to dig into the brand and look for sustainability practices. And we're going to go through each of those.
Let's start with number one. Mm-hmm. Number one is price. If something is super cheap, start looking closer. We all love a deal, but if the item is so cheap that it doesn't make sense to you, you may want to look into whether or not the workers were being paid fairly. How does the item travel at such a cheap rate? You'll want to make sure that price tag adds up to paying people fairly.
Yeah, and I think this is an easy sort of thing. As an example, we've talked on the podcast before, but we have several blogs about slow fashion versus fast fashion. So this is a lot easier talked about when you talk about fast fashion. So I'm just going to put it out there. Brands like Shein, a lot of people, and I was there too. Like, you're like, oh my gosh, I can get five dresses, two sweaters, some earrings and a handbag, all for less than $50. That you need to understand that just means that the quality is so terrible. Not only that, but, Shein has been known for having, factory workers that were not paid fairly. It was unsafe working conditions. I think that they have straightened up a lot, mm-hmm. But the quality is something we're going to get into in a few minutes. But you just need to be thinking about that. If it doesn't make sense, there's a reason why it doesn't make sense. Especially,
I did think higher of Martin and Charlie, but they're coming around. They're coming around.
Oh, Charlie Sheen. You know what I think about when I think about the choice for sustainable and eco-friendly bedding? One word, bamboo. And then you know what I think about?
Two words.
Uh-huh.
Cozy Earth.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Our Cozy Earth bamboo sheets. Ooh, they're just, they make our whole bedding experience just wonderful. It makes that nighttime routine just, oh, I can't wait to get in there and in my comfort.
Oh, not only the nighttime routine, if you're a day napper like me. In fact, I'll be back.
Yeah, okay. Well, I will tell them about Cozy Earth. So listen, Cozy Earth, if you've been in a cave and you haven't heard about it, it is Oprah's favorite, right? And when Lady O says something is her favorite, we just know that we need it. But the reason we do love it is that it all of their items are sustainably made and eco-friendly. Actually, Jerry, you're wearing what right now?
The bamboo waffle knit shirt. Mm-hmm. It's all I can not do to pour some syrup on it and eat it for breakfast. You get it? The waffle reference?
Oh, I got it. Okay. I got it. Yeah. I have the like the sweatsuit. I love it. The top and bottom. It's the coziest. I mean, I know that's the word, Cozy Earth, but it's so soft and comfy, and it also looks really cute when I go out. So,
well, we have that. Yeah, and I've always had an affinity for this type of shirt, so getting this one has just, this one's over the top as mm-hmm. far as this.
And the matching pants.
And the matching pants. Well, I have them on too.
Yeah. Right now. Yep.
So, yeah, this has been a game changer mm-hmm. for me.
And not only bedding and things that you wear, they're super soft, but they also have these towels that just envelop you. I mean, mm-hmm. for anything really in your home that you think about with comfort, anything in bath, body, sleep, Cozy Earth is your jam. And if you're ready to enhance your sleep experience, your whole cozy experience with loungewear, streetwear, you should head wear, Jer.
To honoradventures.com/cozyearth and grab your exclusive code to save a whopping 40%. On your Cozy Earth purchase.
That's right. I think sometimes when we give that code to people, they go, what? 40%? Are you sure it's going to be 40%? Yes, 40% is the best code that you're going to find. I'm not even sure that Oprah gets access to this kind of a discount. Well, I think that, you know, the other thing is like shipping rates. How does it get from China? Because if you do follow your shipping on Shein, a lot of it comes from China. So how does it get from China to here and made all of it for less than $50? It just doesn't make sense.
No, not at all. I think we're going to move on to quality because quality matters, y'all. A higher quality item will last longer. If something is poorly made, a lot of consideration is not put into making sure that the item doesn't last longer than a season. Look to see if the item is made of certified organic cotton or if it is a consumable, that quality ingredients are in it, not a bunch of chemicals.
Yeah. If you have something that you're eating or you're putting in or on your body and you can't read the ingredients on the back because it's a bunch of words that are you can't pronounce, then that's a red flag.
That sure is. And we kind of know specifically the importance of reading ingredients that are edible.
And like we talked about with the quality, like those, we're going to pick on Shein again, but like the Shein, fashion items, you know, a lot of them don't last longer than a season. I mean, we hope you take good care of it and hopefully they do. I have a couple of items in the past that I had from Shein and I take really good care of my stuff. I don't dry a lot of things in the dryer but I ended up, even when I didn't want them, I sold them on Poshmark super cheap. It's probably just as cheap as I got it on Shein. Not to make money. I just want to keep it out of the landfill. So yeah, quality matters. And that I think that's with anything, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
And a quality item is going to last longer, which is great. Like if you have a sweater that you've had for years and you love it, wonderful. Keep it.
That's right. You gets what you pay for, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the fashion world too, are, and not just fashion, but all products are collections. So how many collections is a brand putting out in a year? So if you're looking at a brand and they have 1 to 4 collections a year, that makes sense, right? They have a fall line, a spring line, mm-hmm. winter, summer.
Yeah.
Time goes into the making of those items. It wasn't rushed. If the brand has a collection a month or even more, a week.
Or if they have a meteorological spring collection, a meteorological summer collection. If
they're in breaking addition,
it down like that, yeah, then yeah. really.
You really have to ask yourself, how are they putting things out so quickly? Mm-hmm. So fast fashion, fast manufacturing usually comes at an ethical and sustainable cost.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Which leads us to ingredients and materials. Read labels for ingredients and or what the piece was made of. It should be evident. If it's not, check the website. Are the materials synthetic or polyester or words you can't pronounce? It may be that they are not using organic recycled materials, which are usually not sustainable or ethically made.
Yeah. So I'm going to use an example here. Okay. There's a company that we found out about during COVID. I can't even remember now. I think I was, the summer was coming and, or maybe it was our first travel and I was looking for sustainable brands for swimsuits. And I found this brand called Laundry and it's spelled L-O-N-D-R-E, Laundry. They're Canadian and they make swimsuits out of recycled plastic bottles and different plastics that they want to keep out of the, you know, the landfills, the ocean, all that stuff. So there's a process that you have for that. You wouldn't know. I mean, it feels like, you know, any other swimsuit cloth or whatever, but when you think recycled materials, don't think it's a lesser quality. Like this, the process that they use to make, turn that into a really high quality item is so thought out and it's a slower process and it's just a better quality. I mean, these swimsuits now I've had for a few, gosh, it's now been a few years, I guess, since COVID, but, I have 2 of them from that brand and I just love them. I just think they're the best quality swimsuit I've ever had.
That's pretty neat. What will those Canadians think of next?
I don't know.
They could have stopped at hockey, but no. They just keep going.
Yeah.
Like swimsuits made of plastic bottles.
I know. And it's a women owned brand. It's a smaller brand. And you know, I'll link it down in the show notes. I love it so much. But my whole point is I think when people think, oh my gosh, it's made of recycled materials, how is that a better quality?
Yeah.
No, it is. There's like a whole process that goes into it. Mm-hmm. It's better than having some weird chemicals that made the fabric that you don't even want to put on your body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the next one is diversity.
Diversity.
Does the brand advertise in a diverse way? So more brands are really getting in on this because they understand the importance of inclusivity. But a brand must showcase people from all different colors, sizes, backgrounds, genders in their ad campaigns. If you go to their website, it should be evident. If they have people, make sure that all people are represented because inclusivity matters. That's a really great ethical brand that does that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And definitely. And I think if they're not onto that at this point, they've probably been living under a rock for a while, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
If there's a reason that you only see one kind of person in someone's social media content or ad campaigns, I would start to question the values of that brand.
Yeah, indeed. Mm-hmm. And moving along, how do you find sustainable and ethical brands?
Yeah. Well, you know, you can Google, of course. Mm-hmm. Use terms like if you're looking for fashion, you could Google sustainable fashion brand cruelty-free or organic shampoo cruelty-free. Whatever matters most to you as far as the sustainability part, the ethical part, for us, cruelty-free is super important. So we're going to make sure that we include that. But for you, it could be something different. So yeah, you can Google because if they are one of these brands, then it is definitely mentioned on their website. And for SEO purposes, it's going to pull up.
Yeah, yeah. And well, and you can also do some investigating on social media. We always share brands we find that align with our values, but follow and seek people and brands who you trust are sharing those types of brands.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, we've talked before about social media and following people who also align with your values and making you feel good. And so if you're following people who fall into this category, or you start looking a little bit, it's going to start showing up in your feed. It start, you know, that algorithm game, it's all tricky, but it, yeah, it will. It, if you start looking for them, they're going to start showing up on your social media feed.
That's right. So it's something to be handled diligently. You're, you know, you're searching so that you,
yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing you can do is make sure you shop in your local area independently, because there you can learn more about the brand's practices and how they make things. I remember the first time we moved here and we started going to the farmer's market, mm-hmm, and we were buying eggs. And I remember asking, it was the first time I started like asking more questions about the way people, you know, their practices of having things. And I remember asking the man, he might've been the farmer, I can't remember, but are his chickens cage free? And are they not only cage free, but are they free range? Like, do they have full access? And he started telling us about how, oh my gosh, our chickens are so happy. This is why the eggs are so great. You could come to the farm. He was very open and transparent. And I wouldn't be able to do that if I was calling a company. I couldn't say, yeah, let me go to your farm. I mean, without a huge expense.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right.
You know,
and it's neat to see, because I mean, everybody had to start at as a local, you know, even your bigger things, they all started as a local small thing,
yeah,
somewhere along the way. And it's kind of neat to see if somebody's laying down the correct standards when they're just starting.
Yeah.
As they're going to grow, you want to know that they have a good foundation like that.
Yeah.
Of yeah. Their practices. Yeah.
That's
then you
right.
know you can help them grow.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Yeah.
And so with having those conversations, you may be asking yourself, well, how do I know what questions to ask brands? If I want to know more about the practice, what if I just am not, they're an independent, or they're just not out there on social or their website, and they're not putting it out there about their practices. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're not sustainable and ethical. It may mean that they're small and they don't have the extra resources to put the content out there. So let's just say you have a really favorite brand, whether it's a product that you put in and on your body, it's something you wear, it's something you have, furniture, whatever it is. And you really want to start digging into whether or not they are a sustainable and ethical brand, we're going to share some questions that you can ask those brands. And you can email, call, however it is that you get in contact with these people, and you can ask some of these questions.
Yeah, and these are really important questions. Number one is, do you pay your workers a living wage?
Right. I know some brands locally who do not.
Yeah.
Pay their employees a living wage. And the persona mm-hmm. that they put out into the world is that they do.
Right.
So it would be really important to ask those questions and dig more into that. You know, if you live in the US and you're looking in the US, there has to be a level of transparency when you start asking questions about that.
Yeah.
So if you really believe in this company or this brand and you want to know more, dig into that. If you really want to support them,
right,
and make sure that they do align with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause they can put up a lot of fancy smoke screens that make it look like there's a lot of
that's
money
right.
and that money would be flowing to the employees, and it might not be.
That's right.
It might be misdirected, misguided.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, are your workers ever subject to discrimination, enslavement, exploitation, harassment, or danger in the workplace? So this is, of course, can be on any level, but especially if something's made in a factory. And because something's made in a factory doesn't necessarily mean it's not sustainable or ethically made. But a lot of times these issues do follow suit to factory workers.
Moving along, is child labor used?
Right. Do they have people who are underage working? And
Which kind of relates to number two a little bit, you know?
It's Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are there, you know, kids that are being exploited, and are you not following the labor laws as far as, you know, working? And, you know, this is funny. I don't know if this happens all over the world, but I'm just thinking like when you're young and if you're helping your parents in their job, I mean, I personally don't think there's anything wrong with that. Now, if you're out and you're in a factory and your parents' factory and you're sweating it up and and it's not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, so, and yet you don't want to think that someone may force their child to drop out of school in the eighth grade to work in their business. You know, that's not right. And I think we, in maybe in this country too, we would probably take things like that for granted, but you never know what's going on a international level as far as these things go.
Right.
Yeah.
So the next thing is, do you recycle your materials or do you use recycled materials in your product lines? Like we talked about with the swimsuit line. But when you're, I don't know, when they're in production, if there's things that can be recycled, do they recycle it? Or like we said, are they using some sort of production process where they can reuse recycled materials in their product?
Yeah. And I know some people overlook that. They think, oh, they're these things that we think are being recycled are just being thrown away. But I think the more the trend catches on, the more attention will be paid to actually recycling things and actually using them, you know, as materials and product lines.
And in their their processes, because there are corporations, let's just go for here. There are even bigger corporations that, you know, make great products that have sustainable practices when they're making the product, but all of the corporate staff are, you know, still printing everything and they're not recycling the paper and there's not that many practices. So it really should trickle down, even with smaller boutiques and, smaller independent, handmade companies. Like, are they, their product may be great, but what are their processes like behind the closed doors? Are they using packaging that can be recycled? Are they reusing packaging? Like any, on a health standpoint, I'm making sure it's healthy, but you know, are they putting things into place all the way? Not just that fancy marketing part that everybody's going to look at.
That's right. Across the board, they really live in this lifestyle, and hopefully it gains momentum as it goes. I understand it is kind of a process getting everybody on board with that idea, but I think it is something that does gain momentum. And eventually, decades down the road, you'll see where that's just a very key thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long do you keep your clothes or products?
Yeah. So a lot of companies have sort of this flagship product line that is, you know, evergreen. It lasts forever. People want it's timeless, right? Yeah. Those are great. You don't want to hear that someone is making something just for a certain little trend and then it's gone. You want to know that it's more products and clothes and all of that are timeless. Are so much better. That comes with like furniture too. Like any of that stuff, you would want to know that they keep these items for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, I still have clothes left over from the Carter administration. I'm not going to say they fit, but you know, I just tend to hold on to things and get the most use out of clothes I can.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, okay. I do want to go into the next one because I have a point to make here. So along the same lines of that is the question you should ask: do you incinerate unsold or returned stock? Now, I didn't know about this until, I don't know, the past couple of years, where I read the New York Times came out with an article that they had done this investigative piece that luxury brands like Louis Vuitton, Coach, Michael Kors have all been found in the past to burn their excess stock rather than let it get into the hands of people at a discounted or unpaid cost, because they want to keep that exclusivity look. But, you know, lower cost brands like H&M and Walmart have also been known to have things like where they slashed the products, damaging them so they couldn't be reused or sold. So I was super disappointed in this. Number one, I'm a big Michael Kors fan. And also, if you're close to me, you know about Big Louis. But Big Louis was a Louis Vuitton bag that I had back in the days before we downsized that I purchased. And I was so excited because it was like one of the first, luxury brand handbags I'd ever purchased. But it was the Neverfull. And I carried that thing everywhere. I mean, it was so versatile. Just used it for everything. And it ended up sort of breaking down and the handles were falling off of it. I know that Louis Vuitton has a practice where they will repair your item. So I sent it off. Long story short, it was so damaged that they ended up replacing my bag, which at the time I was like, wow, this is the best thing ever. Like, I'm getting a new Louis Vuitton handbag. I just can't believe this. This is amazing. And then I learned about this practice of Louis Vuitton doing this, where if they make extra handbags or, you know, they have excess stock, they incinerate it. And they are still doing this today.
Yes. I think you were blown away when you heard that.
I was.
Yeah, Louis Vuitton has been a big thing for you.
And even with our minimalist lifestyle, I rationalized it because I was like, well, it's such a timeless quality item. Mm-hmm. I'll have it for a long time. And now, needless to say, Shannon Arner is no longer a Louis Vuitton owner. And
really burst your bubble, didn't it? Yeah.
I sold it on Poshmark.
Yeah.
And someone else can have that. And I just feel like now I'm just really mindful about the things and the brands that I support. It breaks my heart, really.
I know. That's what I was going to say. I know it just broke your heart. It's enough to make you want to go from Louis Vuitton to Louis De Palma. You know,
You want it. Look, at the end of the day, you want. Yeah, that's. I'm not going to hate on you if you support a brand a luxury brand, but if they're burning their excess items, it's like, well, they don't care that much about it. If I have their item, they put so much effort and work into, but then they're burning the excess. Like I just have big problems with that.
Oh yeah. No, it's a horrible thing. And as an aside too, I will say, I don't know if there is a Louis De Palma line. That was, of course, the character famously played by Danny DeVito on the Taxi sitcom.
Yeah, I don't think there is. So anyway.
what sustainable materials are you using or introducing in your product lines?
Yep, same thing like we talked about earlier with the recycled or sustainable. What are they doing? Are they on the trend of getting on board with having better materials or ingredients? The next thing is, how are you reducing the flow of microfibers and microplastics into the ocean? So if you have been reading about any of this, most fish or anything that comes from the ocean now has microplastics in it. So if you are eating fish, you're probably consuming plastics because most of the living creatures in the ocean now have microplastics. So what is the company doing to reduce that from happening? Or did they stop using plastics? Are they not using microfibers? Did they have a way that they're reusing those materials? You want to make sure that they're contributing to bettering the situation than worsening it.
Right. Yeah. That's definitely is an important one to know moving forward. You want to know that I like fish like a lot of people do, but just the thought of there being a little bit of plastic in there, you know, it's like, heck, I want to know what's going on with that and what they're doing to improve all that.
Yeah.
Do you credit all artists, designers, and craftsmen for the designs of your products?
Yeah.
We do.
We don't have any, but well, we have our collaboration with Southern Oak Artisan, and we do that. Uh-huh. We do have something rolling out soon that from another handmade artist that we will definitely release who that artist is. But yeah, if we're a big brand or we're someone who's selling something and someone else designed it or handmade it, our is the company crediting that. You want to make sure that they are. We talked about inclusivity, but make sure that you ask the question, are you inclusive of all races, classes, genders, ages, shapes, abilities? Are they making sure that they hire all? Are they including all in their branding? All of that stuff.
I think that kind of runs in with crediting the artist designers. Now, yeah, always you want to credit these people, and you want to have the right kind of people. Make sure you're including all people.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a really good thing to do. Do you have a variety of sizes, including plus size?
Yeah. So of course, if they're fashion or if they're a service or any product, you want to make sure that they offer that for plus size if it's a sizing issue. Now, look, there are some brands that it doesn't matter, right? It's not a size issue. But we're talking about if they make clothing for, you know, and they keep saying it's for all women, all women. Well, are they offering plus sizes? Are they offering it for all women? You want to make sure. And it's kind of like the makeup brands making sure that they offer all skin pigments and skin tones. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the makeup brands are doing that now. But if they're not, you know, you should maybe start asking some questions about that.
Yes, indeed. Lots of questions to ask.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. If you want to talk to us more about any topic like this, let us know. We usually take direction from what happens with topics we bring up on our blog and sometimes in DMs or emails. So feel free to reach out, guys.
That's right. We're going to link to the blog post that spawned this conversation in the show notes. And, you know, if there's any other resources that we mentioned here that we don't link and you want to know about, just reach out.
If this episode resonated with you, or if you know of someone who would benefit from anything we talked about today, or any episode, our guests, or anything, please share it with a friend. It's a great way of supporting the podcast and us, and we really appreciate it.
Another way of supporting the pod is by leaving us a 5-star review rating on the platform you're listening to us on. Oh, and go ahead and hit that subscribe button, because that also supports us. We would love that.
You can always find us links we refer to during the show and any of the podcast sponsors at armoredventures.com or linked here in these show notes. Until next time, enjoy that journey you're on. We're wishing you lots of adventures.
Adios.
Arrivederci.
Au revoir.
Adios.
Sayonara.
Adios.
Dos vidinhos.